Hi, this is Gordon Deal. The award-winning Wall Street Journal This Morning starts right after this. Back in the days of black and white TVs and phones with wires, the only way for a business to avoid the post office was to lease a postage meter. Technology has changed dramatically since then, but those postage meters haven't. Luckily, there's a much better way to get your postage, Stamps.com. With Stamps.com, you can do so much more than a postage meter for so much less. Get official U.S. postage for any letter, any package using your computer and printer. No extra hardware to buy or lease, and unlike a meter, there are no long-term commitments. You'll save up to 80% versus a meter. Plus, with Stamps.com, you can track packages, track spending, and more. Right now, use the promo code WSJ for this special offer. No risk trial. Plus, a $110 bonus offer includes a digital scale and up to $55 free postage. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com. And before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in WSJ. That's Stamps.com. Enter WSJ.
Live from the newsroom of the Wall Street Journal, this is the Wall Street Journal This Morning, America's first news with Gordon Deal.
Can China be publicly shamed? Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Gina Cervetti. It's Tuesday, May 20th. Welcome aboard. Here's what's up this hour.
The Justice Department says five members of the Chinese military hacked American firms to steal trade secrets. Find out how China is responding.
A federal jury in New York has convicted an Egyptian-born cleric in a high-profile terrorism trial.
Credit Suisse admits it helped wealthy Americans avoid taxes. Hear the penalty that the big bank will pay.
And what AT&T's purchase of DirecTV would mean for you.
People seem to be, whether they're reluctant to do this or not, they seem to be happy enough to pay these bills for now and subscribe to these massive bundling of services. The downside is, of course, that cable bills are still going to go up.
Market Watch reporter Quentin Fottrell on the two big proposed mergers in the media world and what they mean for our wallets. He's here in about 20 minutes. It's time for a morning brief, and it's brought to you by CSX. CSX, how tomorrow moves. The Justice Department has charged five individuals in the Chinese military of hacking U.S. companies for trade secrets.
When a foreign nation uses military or intelligence resources and tools against an American executive or corporation to obtain trade secrets or sensitive business information for the benefit of its state-owned companies, we must say enough is enough.
Attorney General Eric Holder, China, of course, calls the charges fabricated. It's the first time the U.S. government has publicly accused employees of a foreign power with cyber crimes against American firms. To Washington Now and Wall Street Journal reporter Devlin Barrett. Devlin, what went down here?
It's a pretty amazing development in a sense because it's a real escalation of the U.S. charges against China that Chinese officials and government employees have been actively hacking U.S. companies. Now, the U.S. has said this for years, and China has denied it for years. What's different is they unsealed a pretty long indictment against five individuals, apparently all officers or at least were at one time officers of the People's Liberation Army, working out of a building in Shanghai. And what the U.S. government says is that these five individuals did some pretty extensive hacking of major U.S. companies, including U.S. Steel and Alcoa, also the Steelworkers Union and Westinghouse as well. One of the things they allegedly stole from Westinghouse's systems is designs for piping related to nuclear power plants. So there's varying interpretations as to how significant some of these breaches were, but clearly the government thinks they were very serious, and they're willing to escalate their argument with China in filing this indictment.
How deep was the hacking? And
well,
you know,
for
what,
example,
is this, what were they really
in the
after?
In the Westinghouse case, they allegedly took some plans for piping systems in a nuclear power plant, and those are important not just, according to the indictment, those are important not just because they're plans that, you know, a competitor would like to have, but at the time there were negotiations going on about a purchase or a contract between a Chinese company and Westinghouse. And so some of what the indictment describes is an apparent effort to gain a competitive advantage, not just in the broader sense of manufacture and building, but also in the real-time negotiations between two companies looking to make a deal. And for another cases, they used what's called a spear phishing technique to take a bunch of emails from officials at Alcoa, which is the world's largest aluminum manufacturer. All of these things are interesting intelligence, presumably, for their direct competitors. And the U.S. government's point is that these things don't really have a value to national security other than as a competitor, a competing company. A Chinese manufacturer wants that information so it can compete in the global marketplace.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Devlin Barrett about the Department of Justice charges against Chinese military officials with hacking U.S. companies. So how is this tried, or how does it go from here?
Well, the likelihood is it really won't, because these guys are in China. China does not mainland China does not have an extradition treaty with the U.S. And remember, the Chinese government has emphatically denied that their people do this.
Yeah.
So it'd be really hard-pressed to imagine a scenario in which China turns them over, or these guys are foolish enough to travel to a country that would then turn them over. But here's the interesting part. The federal government very, very rarely puts out images of people it has charged. It's sort of a tradition in the federal justice system not to do that. They put out wanted posters for all five of these guys.
Wow.
And it was a really interesting dynamic in the sense of trying to name and shame the people they believe responsible for attacking U.S. companies.
That's something. So why that change of strategy?
Well, I think it's a tacit acknowledgement that they're not likely to actually arrest these guys, that these guys are likely to continue to live their lives perfectly contently in China unless they do something really foolish, like travel to an extraditable country. And it's just unlikely that they will ever appear in a U.S. courtroom, answer these charges in any meaningful way. So I think part of the... It seems as if part of the strategy here is to not just name them, but show their images. I mean, one of these wanted posters shows a man in a military uniform. Actually, two of them are pictured in their military uniforms, which I think is part of the point the United States is trying to make.
Thanks, Devlin. Wall Street Journal reporter Devlin Barrett from the D.C. Bureau. 12 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning.
Hi, I'm Lex Friedman. I run my own business called Podlexing, so I know from experience, hiring new employees can be tough. With so many job boards out there, how can you know which one will produce the best talent? Realistically, to fill the position fast and with the perfect candidate, you need to post your job on all the top job sites. And now you can do it with a single click with ZipRecruiter.com. ZipRecruiter.com lets you post to more than 40 job sites at once. ZipRecruiter.com also posts your job on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter. Just post once and watch the qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. You can screen applicants, rate them, and hire the right people fast. Try ZipRecruiter free right now and find out why it's been used by over 100,000 businesses. And right now, listeners of this program can try ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/WSJ. That's ZipRecruiter.com/WSJ. One more time, to try ZipRecruiter for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/WSJ.
This portion of the program is brought to you by Vistaprint.com. You no longer need a lot of money to market your business. Vistaprint.com has everything you need to get the word out about your products and services without spending an arm and a leg. In fact, they have a low price guarantee for their premium business cards. So if you're not happy, they're not happy. You can call them up and they'll make it right. And for a limited time only, they're offering 250 premium business cards for only $10. That includes shipping. What a great deal. And if you ever need to order more cards, they have quantities up to 5,000. To get 250 premium business cards for 10 bucks with shipping included, just go to Vistaprint.com and put the promotional code WSJ in your cart to get this offer. Don't delay. Order your 250 high-quality premium business cards for only $10 today and get your shipping included. Just go to Vistaprint.com and put the promotional code WSJ in your cart to get this offer. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell has built what's considered a commanding lead heading into today's GOP primary in Kentucky. Wall Street Journal reporter Patrick O'Connor says a much-anticipated conservative revolt against incumbent Republicans never fully materialized. He joins us from Kentucky on the T-Mobile hotline. Patrick, what's changed here?
Well, a year ago, there was a lot of talk that there was going to be a conservative rebellion and that a lot of incumbent Republicans would be facing the threat of losing their seats this primary season. Fast forward a year, it doesn't look like that's really going to happen. There are a handful of incumbents who are genuinely vulnerable, but most of the races never quite materialized. That's probably most pronounced in Kentucky, where Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell is running for re-election. He does face a fairly well-financed conservative primary opponent in Louisville businessman Matt Bevin, but most of the polls running up to the primary suggest that McConnell leads by at least 20 points.
And he's saying that his time in the Senate is a good thing?
Yeah, for the whole year, he's really been running on the strength of his record as a Senate leader, and perhaps even more than his record, just the fact that he's put in the time now to be a party leader. He'd be one of only two party leaders in the history of Kentucky. His argument essentially is that because he's a top Republican in the Senate, he gives the state a lot more prestige than any newcomer would, which is a message that works against Matt Bevin in the primary, but also against his expected general election opponent, this Kentucky Secretary of State Allison Lundergan Grimes. So, yeah, he's really, in what we all thought was going to be an outsider year, he is really running as the consummate insider.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Patrick O'Connor from Kentucky. Are other incumbent Republicans having a tougher time because they aren't as well known as McConnell?
Not really. I mean, I think having a position like minority leader is probably more of a bullseye than it is a pedestal. I think Mitch McConnell is doing what he has to do. He can't run from the fact that he is arguably the face of Republican obstruction in Washington, so he has to kind of define that before his opponents can. The distinction we're trying to make is that while it looks like a lot of these Tea Party candidates are not actually going to win, and that it does seem that the kind of business-friendly establishment crowd wins, what the grassroots has done is they've really pushed all of the Republicans running this year in a much more conservative direction. So I think that that's just really going to be a prevalent theme for throughout this whole election. And one of the things we've seen in the past is when that happens, these candidates tend not to perform well in general elections. And I think Democrats are kind of banking on that fact heading into November.
Why does it appear, Patrick, that this anti-incumbent push has not been more successful?
I think the strength of the candidates is probably the foremost reason. It's a very hard thing to run for Congress and an even harder thing to run for the Senate. And I think that there have been a lot of people entertaining bids who just didn't have either the policy chops to do it or the ability to raise the kind of money that you need to in order to have a competitive campaign.
Thanks, Patrick. Wall Street Journal reporter Patrick O'Connor from Kentucky. 20 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Gina Cervetti is here. She has America's first news.
Good morning. Sprint has been ordered to pay a $7.5 million fine to settle with the FCC over violating the do not call rule. The wireless provider will also have to implement a two-year plan to ensure that it complies with the FCC. The fine is the biggest settlement ever reached over the do not call rule, under which consumers can remove their information from marketing lists. The National Transportation Safety Board calls it a near midair collision last month at the Newark, New Jersey airport. A landing United Airlines Boeing 737 nearly collided with an ExpressJet flight that was taking off. The ExpressJet pilot can be heard on the radio saying he was keeping the plane's nose down as he climbed. The United flight was ordered to abort its landing. China today has summoned the U.S. ambassador in Beijing and warned it would retaliate if Washington followed through with the cyber hacking charges against five military officers. The U.S. says the five hacked into nuclear, metal, and solar companies to steal trade secrets.
This case should serve as a wake-up call to the seriousness of the ongoing cyber threat.
Attorney General Eric Holder, among the alleged victims, Alcoa and U.S. Steel. A federal jury in New York City has convicted an Egyptian-born British cleric of 11 terrorism charges. U.S. Attorney Preet Bharara.
Abu Hamza, as the trial showed, attempted to portray himself as a preacher of faith, but he was instead a trainer of terrorists.
Abu Hamza El-Masri faces a maximum of life in prison. Florida officials say a man diagnosed with the MERS virus in the U.S. has been released from an Orlando hospital after the 44-year-old tested negative for the illness. And at least 20 healthcare workers have also tested negative. The other U.S. cases of MERS are two men in the Midwest who'd come into contact with each other. U.S. stock futures, little on the negative side this morning after the Dow was up about 21 points yesterday. The NASDAQ added 35 and the S&P 500 7. Tech stocks and those of smaller companies regained some of their losses. Today, Asian markets were higher. How do you feel about the term selfie or baby bump? Those are just two of the 150 words added to Merriam-Webster's Collegiate Dictionary. Other new additions include spoiler alert and turducken. A chicken stuffed into a duck, stuffed into a turkey.
That was almost singularly promoted by John Madden, the NFL analyst, turducken.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, he used to broadcast those Thanksgiving Day games, but he only traveled by bus because he was afraid to fly. He'd bust out that giant cooker and explain what turducken was, I feel like, year after year. I feel like all the credit belongs to him for that.
Finally getting his due.
Yeah. Thank you, Gina. 23 minutes after the hour. America was built by innovators and dreamers like you. To celebrate, LegalZoom dedicated this month to innovation by making it easy for you to file trademark or copyright applications, incorporate your business, or form an LLC. Call or visit LegalZoom.com. They'll provide the personal attention you need and help take care of all the details. For a limited time, get a special price on trademark and copyright applications by using the referral code WSJ at checkout. LegalZoom provides legal help through independent attorneys and self-help, but they're not a law firm. What do you suspect will happen to your cable or internet bill if AT&T's proposed purchase of DirecTV is approved? And if there's a green light given to Comcast's purchase of Time Warner Cable? Yeah, I suspect the same thing. MarketWatch reporter Quentin Fotrell has a look at what the merger means for us little guys and how internet access and pay TV could become a three-horse race. Quentin, set the scene.
The upshot is that if both of these deals go through, roughly half of U.S. households could end up getting their internet access and television service from two giant companies.
Under what scenario might consumers really benefit here? Is there one?
Well, that's a good question. You could say that if you look at cell phones and other industries, that they are already a three-horse race when it comes to the three big players. So the upside is that we don't really get a choice when it comes to the big dream of having an a la carte cable TV and internet service. Is really not going to happen, analysts say, because even if you were to separate the two and cut the cord and then try and subscribe to internet, you're really going to pay through the nose just for that internet service alone. If you want high-speed internet and you want to stream movies from Netflix and Hulu and YouTube and whatnot. The upshot is, well, yes, there might be more deals, bundling deals. I mean, I spoke to one consumer who gets cable TV, internet, and a home security system for about $130 a month, and that includes actually a fixed line phone as well and free domestic calls and free HBO and Showtime for a two-year contract with Verizon Fios. So you get a lot of bang for your buck, but you're sort of forced into paying for a large amount of services. But people aren't really cutting the cord. You hear headlines about people cutting the cord. They're not really doing it in the numbers that you might suspect. So people are signing up. Like Netflix has about 33 million subscribers in the U.S., but 33 million people have not cut the cable cord. So people seem to be, whether they're reluctant to do this or not, they seem to be happy enough to pay these bills for now and subscribe to these massive bundling of services. The downside is, of course, that cable bills are still going to go up.
Thanks, Quentin. MarketWatch reporter Quentin Fotrell in New York. 30 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Coming up next, breaking down the U.S. hacking charges against members of the Chinese military.
We help farmers make the best use of their land, which means healthier crops, higher yields, and less harvesting hours, which is good news for a growing population and good news for the environment. BASF, the chemical company.
First, congratulations to the folks at Squarespace for winning 4 Webbies this year. Squarespace is the easiest way to create an exceptional website for you or your business. They have beautiful designs and all the style options you'll need to create a unique website. And don't worry about getting stuck. Squarespace has a 24/7 support team. Try Squarespace today for free. And when you're ready to go live, enter WSJ at checkout and save 10%. Plus, you get free hosting. Use promo code WSJ at squarespace.com/WSJ. Squarespace.com/WSJ.
Powered by the most trusted name in journalism, you're listening to The Wall Street Journal This Morning, America's First News.
Welcome into a Tuesday, May 20th, Gordon Deal with Gina Cervetti. Coming up this half hour, the Justice Department accuses the Chinese military of hacking. An accused terrorist is convicted in New York. Martial law declared in Thailand. And the odd campaigns to get young Europeans to vote. We'll have that report in about 20 minutes. The Justice Department has charged 5 individuals in the Chinese military of hacking U.S. companies for trade secrets. It's the first time the U.S. government has publicly accused employees of a foreign power with cyber crimes against American firms. Attorney General Eric Holder. China calls the charges fabricated. More now from legal analyst Janet Johnson is with us live this morning from Florida. Janet, how problematic is this hacking?
Well, it's interesting because Edward Snowden says that we do it as well. But the problem in this case and what we're distinguishing is spying, which is essentially what it was, to get business or trade secrets, and then doing it for military reasons. And what Eric Holder says is you cross a line when you're basically tampering with our economy, with our business. So the problem is that apparently for years, the Chinese, and particularly this Unit 61398, which was publicly identified in this indictment, has been tapping into businesses, sometimes sending emails that can basically then insert spyware into Westinghouse, the companies that they've been spying on, and then they can read the emails and get the trade secrets. And it's giving them an advantage. I mean, they can find out how is Westinghouse planning on marketing or competing in the nuclear conductor business, and then they can outbid them. And that's what was happening. And Eric Holder says it's incredibly damaging and that companies have actually shut down because they were able to infiltrate our businesses and, you know, overly competitive with them because they have the secrets.
What do you think the purpose is of trying to out these officials now? Because this has been going on for what we suspect is a long time.
Yeah, no, they said, you know, at least as far back as 2006, one of the things that this was out of a federal district in Pennsylvania in the Pittsburgh area, one of the things that the FBI said was it took us a long time to get the information, which may be true. You know, I'm sure it does take a long time. But the other thing is there's some speculation that Edward Snowden, again, had started this conversation and sort of taken everything away from, you know, what the Chinese were doing and pointing it at what we were doing and basically saying the U.S. are hypocritical. So the conversation now is turning back to, okay, but here's what the Chinese are doing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it's effective to some extent, although, you know, it's going to make a comparison to say, okay, what has the U.S. been doing and how come we're prosecuting them? What the Chinese say, interestingly, is we don't distinguish between business espionage and military espionage. Yeah. You guys think that a spy for military reasons is a hero, but someone who does it for business reasons is some sort of pirate. We don't make that distinction.
Right. From a legal standpoint, though, these charges from justice are largely symbolic, right? I mean, we're never getting these guys to court or to a trial.
Well, there was an interesting moment where the DOJ and FBI said, and you need to bring them here, and let's have a trial with 12 people, and if you say this isn't true, then let's put them on trial. But that's never going to happen. That's just puffing. But what they are doing, what I'm seeing even in my practice, they're getting Americans as well in this huger net that they're looking for basically copyright, you know, business crimes. That's what all of this is. And we all know that China has been competing a little unfairly because they do things cheaper. They don't have the labor laws that we do. And now I guess we're just going after them and say, you can't keep doing this.
We're speaking with legal analyst Janet Johnson. She's with us live this morning from Florida. Do you get the sense, though, that China can be publicly shamed here? Because I don't.
No, I don't either. And you know, one of the things that we've been trying to do is negotiate with them on a diplomatic level, and apparently that's not working. So, you know, I think China, obviously, they have a record of doing things like this, and these guys have names like Ugly Gorilla, Candy Goo. I mean, these are guys in the People's Liberation Army. They are, you know, the establishment. These aren't, you know, some geeky guy, you know, in a lab doing this. They're in military buildings doing it. And I don't think they're going to be shamed, but I think, you know, certainly sending the message to, you know, people like who I represent, the American people on the inside of this who are being used to some extent, is basically saying if you do this for China, then we will get you too. So maybe China's not going to change what they do, but anyone else involved is. And certainly the businesses now, you know, are on notice, and apparently they've gotten emails over the past year that what they're saying to each other in memo and in email, that's not confidential, that other countries, not just other companies, can see what they're saying.
Yeah. You suspect then that other companies might be wary of doing business with China now, or just this just poorly held secret?
Well, you know, these people were actually competing against China, so they weren't doing business with them. But, you know, in terms of the people I represent who have done business with China, and it turned out they were engaged in copyright infringement unwittingly, but the government says they should have known, those people, I think, are going to be hesitant to do business with China. You know, but it's hard to avoid most of the things that we see, certainly in Walmarts and in big retail chains. Even if they say made in America, they're mostly made in China, and then they're assembled in America so they can get the made in America stamp.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, thanks for a few minutes. Always good talking to you. Janet Johnson, legal analyst, joining us live this morning from Florida to talk about these charges that justice has leveled against these five members of the Chinese military. By the way, the Journal editorial this morning about this story says there are two types of companies in the U.S., those that have been hacked and those that don't know they've been hacked. 19 minutes now in front of the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. America was built by innovators and dreamers like you. To celebrate, LegalZoom dedicated this month to innovation by making it easy for you to file trademark or copyright applications, incorporate your business, or form an LLC. Call or visit LegalZoom.com. They'll provide the personal attention you need and help take care of all the details. For a limited time, get a special price on trademark and copyright applications by using the referral code WSJ at checkout. LegalZoom provides legal help through independent attorneys and self-help, but they're not a law firm. Time now for an automotive update, and it's brought to you by AutoTrader.com. Find a great deal on a brand new car at AutoTrader.com. Compare prices and special offers on new cars from local dealers. AutoTrader.com, the ultimate new car marketplace. Well, they weren't the prettiest cars you've ever seen. That's an understatement. And they didn't come with a lot of the bells and whistles. But if you wanted a car with an old-fashioned gasoline engine that didn't actually burn a lot of gas, the 80s was your decade. More now from the Wall Street Journal this morning's Mike Gavin.
Well, Gordon, the folks at Wired.com have put together a list of the most fuel-efficient cars of all time. And a lot of those cars we'd remember as ugly boxes on wheels. But if you were a cash-strapped college student or commuter in the 80s and 90s, they served you well. Keep in mind, this doesn't count hybrids or electric cars. These are cars that run strictly on gasoline. Now, some of the cars a little lower on the list are more modern vehicles, like the 2012 Smart for Two Cabriolet and the 2014 Ford Fiesta, both getting about 36 miles per gallon. This is highway and city combined. It's an average that they put out there. Now, as we climb higher on the list, we enter the 90s with the 1995 Geo Metro. That was a four-door car that nabbed you about 40 miles per gallon. The 89 Suzuki Swift was good for 41 miles per gallon. The 86 Chevrolet Sprint ER, as homely as it was efficient, returned 42 miles per gallon. The 86 Honda Civic comes in at around 46 miles per gallon. And Gordon, at the top of the heap, the 1990 Geo Metro XFI, which would take you a whopping 47 miles on a gallon of gas. Now, I have a special place in my heart for the Geo Metro. A buddy of mine in high school had a 90 Geo Metro. And let me tell you, in high school, when you had no money, nobody has any money for gas. And of course, when you're in high school, everybody ponies up for gas. You know, you go on a trip and everyone contributes a couple dollars. And this is back when gas was like a dollar a gallon.
Sure.
But even then, that was a lot of money for us. So if somebody had that car and could take you around and you didn't have to pony up a lot of money for gas, that was fantastic. That thing actually felt like it made gasoline. The gas gauge never went down. You could go just days and days without filling up.
You know, it's funny because as you were going through the story here, I was looking up some of the pictures. A lot of them have a similar look.
Yeah, yeah.
With sort of the hatch look.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the Metro, the Chevy Sprint, that Suzuki Swift.
Yeah, that hatchback. Not square box, but sort of like almost the kind of the box, the rounded box,
yeah.
Almost. Like it looked like it was a box at first, and maybe to make it a little more aerodynamic, they rounded it off a little bit.
Yes. And what did you call them in terms of the way they looked?
Just boxes on wheels.
Yes, yeah. Good one. And death traps, I guess, at times also they might be considered.
Yeah, some of those bells and whistles they were missing were steel.
Right. And any sort of safety feature.
Right.
Very good. Thank you, Mike. 14 minutes in front of the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Time now for a travel update, and it's brought to you by Lexington Hotels. At Lexington Inns, Hotels, and Suites, guests enjoy great rates, exceptional quality, and a personal touch. Visit LexingtonHotels.com for reservations. If the approach of Memorial Day weekend has you dreaming of summer vacation plans, here are some things to consider if a cruise is on your to-do list. First, to save money, book early.
If you're booking 9 months out, you know, that's probably a smart period of time because these cruises do fill up. People do plan ahead with them.
If you're flexible, you can also try to score a very last-minute bargain by booking 2 weeks from departure. Ross Kenneth Erkin, personal finance editor at The Street, says even though we live in an age of Kayak and other online travel services, another way to save on cruises, believe it or not, is by using an old-fashioned travel agent to book.
It's one of those rare occasions where someone who has a knowledge of the discounts and the different ships and, you know, maybe certain packages on board can be an asset in terms of planning.
Another way to save, book a repositioning cruise, as they're known, when ships change locations due to the seasons, like from Alaska to the Caribbean. Also, sign up for a cruise line's loyalty program. And finally, avoid the extras like shore excursions. If you're going to do those, book them locally, not through the cruise line. 9 minutes now before the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Gina Cervetti is back with America's First News.
Good morning. The Justice Department's indictment of five Chinese military officers on charges of stealing U.S. trade secrets marks the first time Washington has charged foreign state employees with hacking. Attorney General Eric Holder.
The victim entities include Westinghouse Electric, Alcoa, Allegheny Technologies Incorporated, United States Steel, the United Steelworkers Union, and Solar World.
It is unlikely the Chinese suspects will be brought to trial in the U.S. because there is no extradition treaty with China. U.S. officials say other cases relating to China are being readied and that alleged hackers in Russia are likely to face charges. Dozens of gay and lesbian couples are now legally married in Oregon after a judge invalidated the state's voter-approved ban on same-sex marriage. Also, Monday, a federal judge in Utah ordered state officials to recognize more than 1,000 gay marriages that took place over a two-week period before the Supreme Court halted same-sex weddings with an emergency stay. Credit Suisse becomes the first financial institution in more than a decade to plead guilty to a crime as the Swiss bank admits it conspired to aid tax evasion and agreed to pay $2.6 billion to settle a Justice Department probe. AT&T's big proposed acquisition of DirecTV comes with a big caveat. The telecom giant can walk away from the deal if the satellite TV provider is not able to renew its prized Sunday ticket offering with the NFL.
They have a clause in the agreement that basically says that if the deal is not completed in a way that the parties have discussed, that AT&T could walk away.
The Journal's Thomas Greida, member of the NFL's broadcasting committee, which is made up of team owners, expressed optimism that a deal with DirecTV is coming soon. U.S. stock futures this morning are a little on the negative side after the Dow rose 21 points yesterday. The Nasdaq added 35. The S&P 500 gained 7. Tech stocks and those of smaller companies regained some of their recent losses. Los Angeles area broadcast reports say that actor Michael Jace has been detained for questioning following the fatal shooting of his wife. The actor is known for roles on TV's The Shield and Southland. Belmont Park officials say that California Chrome can wear his nasal strips in the Belmont Stakes, reviving hopes of seeing a Triple Crown winner for the first time in 36 years. New York Park gave the okay after the horse's trainer indicated that California Chrome might not run if the strips weren't allowed. The horse is expected to arrive in New York today for that race.
All right.
On June 7th.
All right. The trend-setting California Chrome. Thanks, Gina. 6 minutes in front of the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. The European Union has an election problem. Voters don't know or care enough to go to the polls and elect their direct representatives in Brussels. In an effort to woo them back, politicians are trying some new moves. In the run-up to European elections this week, some members of the European Parliament have tested their policies in a rap battle.
When it comes to your freedom, they go the hottest. We just passed a vote to get rid of roaming charges.
Yeah, rapping about roaming charges. Others have joined the latest internet craze, creating their own version of Pharrell Williams' music video for the song Happy. Now, the politician's version, which also features professional dancers and a nudist, is aimed at getting young people to vote. Other efforts to get voters interested in an institution with few famous faces and a reputation for stifling bureaucracy, the League of Young Voters organized the Fake Campaign, calling for the voting age to be raised to 25. Young people did take notice of that. For Gina Cervetti, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to the Wall Street Journal this morning. Thanks for listening to the Wall Street Journal this morning. For more, follow the Wall Street Journal this morning on Facebook and Twitter, and now on TuneIn.